Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico, broadcasting live every Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central from Panama City Beach, Florida, home of the world's most beautiful beaches. I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining me on my weekly broadcast. Every week, I'll feature some of the best instructors, coaches, authors, and entrepreneurs in the golf business today. I begin with a great discussion on Coach's Corner, followed by an insightful interview with my special guest. So let's get started by introducing tonight's Coach's Corner panel. All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico, and as always, we've got another great show for you this Thursday evening, June 18th. It's hard to believe, but we're already in the trimester of the month of June, or getting close to it anyways. We've got a great show for you tonight. As always, we're going to start off with Coach's Corner here in just a moment. I'll introduce the guys on tonight's panel. And then a little bit later on, I'm joined by a very special guest, Tin Tran. And he is the founder and inventor of the Trans Rover, which is an all-in-one golf cart. And it's actually very, very interesting piece of equipment that he invented. We're going to talk about that. In fact, it won an award at the 2018 PGA Merchandising Show. So he's going to come on and talk about that a little bit later. But let me remind everybody, the sponsors of the program, Golf Talk Live, is brought to you by iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing top quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And Golf Tips Magazine, the most in-depth instructional magazine offering insightful reviews on the latest equipment tips from top PGA and LPGA teacher professionals, all designed to help improve your game from tee to green. So subscribe today at golftipsmag.com. All right, as I mentioned, we've got a couple of great guys on tonight's panel, and we're going to talk about, for those of you that have maybe never played before and you want to get an idea of, well, what do you do when you show up at the golf course? What goes on? How do you prepare yourself? And what are some things and maybe some questions that you might have? So let me introduce the guys, and then we'll begin tonight's discussion. First up is John Decker. He's a PGA instructor and senior one of the senior editors and a Golf Tips Top 25 instructor. He was also the 2015 Southern Ohio Teacher of the Year. Prior to that, he was head instructor at the Grand Cypress Academy, where he worked under top 100 instructors Fred Griffin and Phil Rogers. And he's also an author of Golf Is My Life, Glorifying God Through the Game, which also has an accompanying Bible study. Also rounding out tonight's panel is Peter Agazarian. He is the owner and director of performance for Northeast Performance Institute, owner and president of Northeast Golf Performance, and the 2017 Northeastern New York PGA Player Development Award recipient. And he's also a TrackMan master and proponent of the group member, of proponent group. All right, guys, welcome to Coach's Corner here on Golf Talk Live.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Ted.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thank you, as always, for giving your time. And I know both of you have just literally come off the golf course, so I know you're a little tired, but I know you'll have enough energy to make it through this next hour. We'll try to make it as light and breezy, if you will, just to give you guys a little bit of a rest. Okay, so as I mentioned in the opening statements, what we're going to talk about really is your first trip to the golf course and what you need to know. And a lot of people, their first experience with any new activity can be a little intimidating, and it can be, maybe you're involved in some sort of a workout regimen where you're working in a class, like a spin class, let's say. Maybe you're being a little more creative and you've taken up with you and your partner, you're doing a little salsa dancing or something, or maybe just playing a round of golf. And for those of you out there that have been playing the sport our whole lives, we sometimes take for granted all the little nuances that go into the day. So I put together some things for beginners, and we're going to talk about those. And I'm going to start with John here on the questions tonight on the panel. And then I'll turn it over to Peter for his thoughts and input into the show. So the first question is, are you ready for the golf course? So there's actually a series of questions that go with that question. So I'm going to read a couple out for you, John, and then I'm going to give a couple out to Peter as well when it's his turn. So just if you can, just kind of stick with these particular questions so that we don't overlap. And the first question is part of, are you ready for the golf course? Am I able to commit and make a swing without needing more than 20 or 30 seconds to set up? So in other words, can I get ready and commit to the swing without taking a lot of time? And the second one is, am I making contact, consistently and not hitting everything off, whether it be the hosel or even simply whiffing the ball? So let's tackle the first one, John, and that is, what do we need to do and how do we get ready so that we're not spending a lot of time standing over the ball? And obviously we know what happens when that takes place. Give us some thoughts there.
Well, first of all, Ted, thank you for having me on the show. And Peter, I'm looking forward to being on the show with you tonight as well. Ted, that's a great question, because many times, and it really doesn't matter whether I'm working with beginners or if I'm at a golf course and I'm watching some people tee off, sometimes it can be people who've been playing the game for a long period of time. Standing over the ball for a long period of time is not going to help you. In fact, I see tour players who do it, and there's several that come to mind. I'm not going to mention their names, but they stand over the ball too long, and I feel like that's not going to help them play their best golf in the long run. I think that obviously everyone can play well at times, but talking about the beginners and the new players, most new players have probably taken at least a lesson or two. If you've never played the game before, you need to take a lesson first. And then once you get that information, you need to have just enough information to get started, but not too much information to overload. And that is the most difficult part of being a PGA golf professional, is knowing how much to give your student, because some people can take only a little bit and some people can take in a lot. So it's important that when you are on the golf course, that you remember that you are playing a game. And so you need to focus on a target. You need to focus on making a practice swing, setting up to the ball, looking at your target, and then going ahead and hit your shot. And try to have fun. If you're spending, 25 or 30 seconds to hit a shot and you're a new player, you're going to probably have a long day. So I would really encourage new players. I would rather them play a little on the fast side than play on the slow side. And I think we can all agree that golf, can be very slow and tedious. And we all see groups out there. We've all been in that situation where we have a group in front of us that's taking too much time. A lot of times it's not because they can't find their golf balls. It's because they're standing over the ball too long and making it too much of an ordeal. So, fast play makes fast friends. And so it's very important that you do that.
Well said. Peter, go ahead.
Well, the second question was the second question. Did you want me to follow up on that or is that?
Go ahead. Well, I wanted you to go ahead and answer that one. And then I'm going to go to Peter with his question. So yeah, go ahead. I'm going to repeat that for you. Am I making constant or contact consistently and not hitting it off the club hosel or even whiffing the ball? So in other words, am I making, reasonable contact when I'm out there playing?
Well, I think the best way
that's the question
you
want to know,
whether
or not you're decide whether you're ready for the golf course. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's very important, the contact. I think we all know when we hit a good shot and we all know when we hit a bad shot. So it's very important. If you're struggling with your contact, I'm a big believer that, like I hit some balls today and I hit a couple of bad shots and I immediately went because I was hitting my driver, I immediately put my driver down, picked up my 9-iron and started making some real small swings just to get solid contact again. And I worked my way up and then I worked my way through it. So it's important that when you're on the golf course, when you're not playing well, and we all go through that, that your practice swings are your friend. I mean, I love to feel the club hit the ground with an iron. That gives me the reassurance that I'm setting up and I can get the feel of where my club is bottoming out. And I think those are simple things that you can do to enjoy the game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think sometimes, and again, it goes back to whether or not you're ready for the golf course. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You don't have to be hitting every shot perfect. But I think just with these questions that I'm posing here tonight, I think if you can answer yes to those, then you're good to go. And again, you don't have to be perfect, but as you pointed out, you know, if you're spending an inordinate amount of time over the ball, that gives you an opportunity for a lot of things to sort of creep into the mind and create, you know, doubt or allow negative thoughts to get in there. And that's just going to hamper your game. And obviously contact is important. Again, you're going to miss some shots here and there, and that's okay. That's what the practice tee is for, but, good answers, John. Thank you. And the other question that sort of follows that, Peter, this is one of the ones I'm going to ask for you. Am I able to get the ball airborne with an assortment of clubs? And the reason why I say that, it's not just about making, obviously we need to make good contact, but to get any sort of distance, we need to get the ball in the air and get it moving forward. And, you know, if you've got one favorite club in the bag and, you know, you can hit it well, that's great, but you need to be able to hit other clubs as well. So that's the first part of the question. And then I'm going to ask you another one. I'll let you answer that one first, Peter, and then I'll ask you the second one to give it a little bit easier to understand.
Yeah, sure. Well, when I'm working with beginners and, you know, we're really introducing, you know, the golf bag to them in general, and across the board, it doesn't matter the age, gender, the full complement of clubs in the bag is very intimidating. The use of each club can be confusing. You know, just understanding how far each one goes can create enough doubt to affect, you know, a new player's confidence. So the first thing I'm doing is really paring down their bag to, you know, three or four clubs plus a putter. And sometimes it might not even include a driver. And they're learning those clubs and getting acquainted with those clubs and what those three or four clubs do. And like you're saying, helping them, you know, working to get them airborne. You know, we're starting with some more lofted clubs, you know, something to help them get off the tee, whether it's a hybrid, a fairway wood, or maybe even a driver if they're feeling, you know, maybe even a little more advanced because of their athletic ability. But it's a great question, and it goes to the point of, you know, the individual first, you know, helping them gain confidence that they can get, you know, each shot off the ground, and it goes to the contact question you were just talking about. I'm very empathetic to the beginner golfer as to what they would see on television. Maybe they see their friends do, and then for them to have a kind of a preconceived notion of what it looks like at the highest level or their peers, and then for them to look to enter the sport, you know, they could really use the guidance of a coach, and some of that can really look to simplify in the beginning and then introduce, you know, clubs that, you know, like you said, you need to really get airborne and hit different shots as they progress.
Yeah, because, we know from playing this game for you know, the time that we have, that it can be very intimidating, particularly to new golfers. You know, new golfers see, as Peter, as you just pointed out, what they're viewing on television. They're seeing, in most cases, the best of the best. And even with some of their buddies that have played for a number of years, you know, some of them may have a fairly low handicap. And it can be very intimidating, especially when you're struggling. And, you know, obviously, I think that's smart what you suggested. I think paring down, you know, even though we're able to play with 14 clubs in the bag, that doesn't mean as a beginner that you have to put 14 clubs in. You know, it might be just five clubs. It might be four clubs.
For beginners, I refuse to do it.
Right.
It's exactly.
Well, it's too much to think about, number one, and it's also not necessary. Let them learn to play with you know, a few clubs in the bag, and it's important to work with somebody like yourself to be able to understand, okay, this is what you're able to do, this is what you're not able to do, so this way we can eliminate these clubs out of the bag because this is an area that you're currently struggling with. So let's work with what's working good for you right now, and let's go out and have some fun and play, and then as you progress and develop, then we can throw one or two in the bag you know, as you progress. And I think that's a smart way to do it. Okay, my second question for you sort of falls, again, in line with some of the variety of different shots. And again, these are questions that you need, you know, for you listeners out there, you need to ask yourself, you know, whether or not and make the decision whether or not you're ready for the golf course. It's not just a matter of showing up and paying your green fee. And this one, Peter, really falls in is, am I reasonably comfortable, you know, with my pitching and chipping shots around the green? Or in other words, particularly my short game and even bunker shots, if you want to throw it in there. And I think it's good to be able to practice from various lies. But if you're not comfortable with some of those little shots, then it's going to be even more daunting with some of your full shots. So touch on that a little bit as well. You know, this is an area that I think a lot of beginners fall short on is because they don't go out and practice. They're too busy. I got to make sure I hit it off the tee, and I got to look good when I hit it off the tee, and they ignore really the scoring end of their game. So touch a little bit on that.
Yeah, you're exactly correct, Ted. It was, you know, to spend, you know, an equal amount of time with each part of your game is kind of out of the scope of a beginner. I think you're exactly right. There's a certain amount of anxiety about getting off the tee that is the primary focus. But, you know, to go to your earlier point, it's why it's so important, and one of John's points as well, it's so important to seek out assistance when you're beginning. Because if you have a coach, instructor, or whatever you want to call them, they're going to guide the process, and they're going to help you understand that it's a complete game and that each shot is equal to one stroke, and it doesn't matter if it's a drive or a one-footer. It's really, in the broad spectrum of thing, equal parts. You know, as you get more into the game, you understand that there's some contribute more than others, but in the beginning stages, it's critical that you have help. I mean, to go into playing golf really on your own would take a genius, or it's very lonely. It's
right.
To just, you know, reflect back on one of your earlier points, I think people can take something from your earlier points about seeking help. I mean, that's because you wouldn't understand that as a beginner golfer coming into the situation. You know, to mention what you just talked about, following my last answer, was that they're not only looking at the best of the best on television, and this might be going for all golfers, they're watching it through the lens of a telecast and only seeing the people who are playing the best. They're not seeing the person that's in the field that's shooting 75 or 77. They're not going to show that. So they're watching, you know, birdie putts, and they're watching long drives and close approach shots, you know. So I think it's very important for, you know, just as a recommendation for people that are listening, if you're really looking to start, seek, you know, a professional coach. You know, your friends might be great players. They might play a really good game themselves, but it's no comparison to having a professional instructor or coach guide the process for you.
Yeah, and you can't – I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of beginning golfers do, and I know they mean well in many cases, but unless your buddy happens to be a golf professional, that's not the best place to get tips for your game. Simply because, you know, unless they're a scratch player, and even then I wouldn't recommend it. You know, you're just going to be picking up, in most cases, a lot of their bad habits. So it's not always a good idea. And that's why you should go, you know, and seek out your local professional and at your local golf course and sit down and have a discussion with them and put together a game plan that's right for you. So in summary of just the few questions that we've had so far, if you're out there and you've answered no to any of these questions that we were just discussing about, then you may be better off with a little more practice time at the facility, and definitely you need to be taking some lessons, because if you can't do any of the above or you're struggling quite a bit, then all you're going to do is just add to your frustration level, and then you're going to not enjoy the game as much as you could without that professional help. So some great points, guys. All right, John, I'm going to come back to you. And this is one, you know, I know there are some situations where you may not have as many choices, but today's economy, if you will, especially if you're in a bigger center, there may be more options on where to go. How do you pick the right golf course to play as a beginner? What should you be looking for? I mean, you know, there's everything from resort courses to some of your local munis to private clubs, what have you. Obviously, some restrictions apply in certain cases. But when you're a first-time golfer and you don't have a lot of experience, what should you be doing and what should you be thinking about when picking a golf course to play? What are factors that should be considered?
Well, the one thing that we want to make sure that we're doing when we play golf is we want to have fun. So one of the things that I would do is if I'm a beginner and I'm, I would talk to my friends who and try to go to, you know, ask them, you know, find a group of friends that you like, people that you enjoy being around, and try to do it as a group activity. Try to do it, you know, see where if they're playing golf and they're already, they're more established players. See where they're going. Obviously, public golf courses mean that you can, they're open to the public. You're not going to be able to just show up at a private club and say, hey, I want to play your golf course if you're not, you know, invited by a member. So public golf courses is where I would start. I would even consider par three golf courses. I think that that's a great way as a beginner to get started because you can learn some of the etiquette and you can learn some of the things along the lines of, you know, just basically it's much easier to finish out a hole if you're playing a par three golf course. I think that's an excellent way to do it. I think it's important to look for golf courses that offer, if you're a lady, that offer like clinics. I think because when you go to a clinic, I think a clinic is a great way to learn, whether you're male or female, but especially females really love the clinics because it's a great way to meet people and get introduced to the game in a way to where you're not so intimidated, you know, standing there on the first tee with people around that you don't know. So it's a great way to network and meet people. And if you can find a public golf course that has a women's clinic or a men's clinic or a couples clinic or something along those lines, the Golf Get Ready program that the PGA puts on, any program that introduces you to the game, I would go and do that because I feel like that would be a good way to meet the pro, to meet other people, and then try to maybe adopt that course that offers those because they're obviously receptive to new players. They're trying to grow the game. That's a great way to kind of get yourself in the network of that and pick that as being your club of choice to get started. So those would be examples of ways, either network, you know, ask questions, go online. There's a lot of online forums now that you can go on you know, interact with people and try to, you know, find groups to play with and stuff. So there's a lot out there and there's the availability there. And believe me, especially in today's economy, golf courses are doing whatever they can to welcome. This is a great opportunity to welcome new people to the game of golf.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the other thing too is even if you are limited, maybe you only have a few courses in your area and they happen to be longer golf courses or more along the lines of, you know, your championship or even a resort style course, one thing that you can do is play from the forward tees, make it shorter for you so that you're not struggling to reach every green and you're not struggling to, especially with the par fives and even some of the longer par fours, you know, turn them into shorter holes for you and you can still score appropriately. Give yourself a little bit of a break. You know, Nicholas has talked about that for years that, you know, one of the things that he used to see with a lot of amateurs is they would play as far back as they, you know, they could, and they couldn't get sometimes in three or even four shots on what should be a relatively easy hole to get to. So, you know, you have to be smart about it. And then as you develop and become better, then, you know, if you feel like you need to challenge yourself by moving back, you know, an extra tee or even in two in some cases, because many courses now have as many as five. I've even seen some with six different tee selections. So, you know, you can always move back. but better to start a little bit shorter, get comfortable with the shots that you're making and get, you know, comfortable playing the golf course, and you'll see you'll score a little bit better. And then as you develop, as I said, and you want to challenge yourself, then you can move back. Peter, this is another area that a lot of new golfers struggle with, and that is really what to wear on the golf course. Every course is different, but there is sort of a general rule. And included in that, I also want you to talk about what to bring and what not to bring, or in other words, leave at home to the golf course. Obviously, you're going to bring your equipment and whatnot, but talk about, not necessarily from a dress code standpoint. Obviously, some courses do enforce dress codes, but you want to be comfortable and relaxed, and you want to have mobility. So talk about that. First off, what to wear to the golf course when you're playing around, and what are some things that maybe you can bring with you to make it a little bit more enjoyable experience?
Yeah, I think like you said, Ted, it's to the point of being comfortable, but, you don't want to be out of place either. You don't want to feel uncomfortable because you're under or overdressed. And I think if you're a beginner golfer and, you're playing with some friends, it's a good thing to ask. It's like, is this a come as you are kind of place where you can wear, some places you can wear a t-shirt and jeans or a t-shirt and shorts, and some place you there's no dress code. You could just, it's kind of a come as you are type of place, or you could be going to, a friend's private club as a guest, and there is a dress code and you need to, have a collared shirt and certain length shorts. Or if you're, being a woman, there's a dress code. Or, even on the other end of the spectrum of being a woman, you can, I know leggings are very, popular, and, tank tops, but there's, if you're, like I said, it's more of a come as you are place. As a woman, there's a lot more levity there. But if you're going to, as a guest to a friend's club, or whether it's public or private, most times there's a dress code where it's just best to ask. Don't feel pressure. Don't feel like you're going to be doing something you're wrong by asking your friend. And they'll give you some good guidance if they're an actual friend. And then you can go from there. And then also in that sense, if it's not a last minute, proposition, ask that, make sure you ask well in advance. So if you need to make an adjustment and maybe even go buy something, you have ample time to do that. Because, the last thing you want to do is go show up to any golf course, no matter what it is, and feel, anxious or out of place because you don't feel comfortable with how you're dressed. I think that's my main piece of advice, is just that you want to feel comfortable for your surroundings. And, there's been plenty of times, even myself, that I've gone to, places more on the casual side, dressed how I normally dress for work, and I felt out of place and overdressed.
Right.
So there was times that I could have shown up in shorts and a t-shirt and fit right in and been very comfortable, but I was wearing, my professional golf teaching attire that I wear all the time, with pants and a collared shirt, and very much out of place. People are looking at me like, who's this person? So
right.
I think it's, as a golfer at any level, and especially as a beginner, don't be afraid to ask, and just to be comfortable within whatever kind of advice your friend or your playing partner is going to give you.
Well said. And you don't want to feel that they're looking at you like you're the concierge at the club and having to hold the door open for them. So, yeah, you want to dress casually. And I know exactly what you
feel. Yeah, I mean, either end of the
feel.
Spectrum, Ted.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
And
I think the other thing, too, what a lot of folks can do, if you're in doubt, the other thing you can do, many golf courses now, of course, have websites. A lot of them will put on their website what their dress codes are, what they expect, especially some of the more prestigious clubs or private clubs. If, as Peter suggested, if you're invited to a members club, You can always go on the website, or you can call the pro shop and just say, hey, I'm, you know, an invited guest, and I just want to know what your dress code is. So, you know, if your buddies forget to tell you and you're not sure, you can always reach out to the golf course, and they'll certainly be happy to set you straight. And the other component is, Peter, that I wanted to ask you about as well, and this is, again, you know, people unsure of what to bring to the golf course. So you want to make sure, number one, you want to make sure you're dressed appropriately for the day, and obviously you want to make sure you remember to throw, you know, unless you're renting clubs, you want to throw whatever clubs you have in the back and make sure. But there's some other things. Maybe go through a quick checklist of things you want to make sure you have plenty of before you get to the golf course. You're not showing up and, you know, unzipping the various pouches and realizing you don't have anything in there. So maybe touch on that. What should we stock ourselves up with when we're coming to the golf course as a beginner?
Yeah, of course, golf balls, you know, tees, at least have a coin with you of some kind to, you know, mark your golf ball on the green. You know, maybe if it's some sunscreen and something to make sure you're have a snack with you, you know, some water to drink. I think you mentioned earlier what not to bring to the golf course.
Yes.
Booze. Don't bring alcohol. That's
right.
Definitely frowned upon in most places. I can definitely say that. Just don't do it.
Right.
No matter how much your friends tell you it's okay, it's not.
Right.
But I think to the golf essentials, you know, you're gonna be out there for at least 4 hours, so you want to make sure you bring, you know, a snack with some complex carbohydrates, you know, and water. I mean, water or Gatorade or whatever your favorite sport drink is. It's, so golf balls, tees, your golf essentials is a coin to mark your ball for, so you can get your ball out of the way of someone else putting. And go have fun. I mean, besides your clubs and your tees and your ball, plenty of golf balls as a beginner. Least expensive golf balls possible.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And maybe some other things, too, that you might want to consider doing. Again, depending on where you're playing, some other items to have along the way, besides what Peter's already mentioned, is, you know, if it's a little cool, if you're, you know, playing in maybe somewhere in the Northeast and it's not quite warmed up yet, it's a good idea to maybe take an extra shirt, like a light sweater or even some sort of a windbreaker, and you can kind of fold it up, and usually you have a good size pouch in your golf bag that you can tuck it in, especially a rain jacket, or if you're you know, taking a drive, one of the carts, they have a little cage in the back that you can plop it in there as well. So it's good to have that in case you need it. And also too, something I always advise beginners, because sometimes, you know, they forget to bring some snacks, but usually you see that lovely cart girl driving around, and she has different things that you can purchase there for snacks. Always make sure you have a little cash on you, and I always recommend before you get there, or certainly when you get there, you can ask them in the pro shop to break down the bills a little bit, get some small bills so you can give them a tip or two along the way. They certainly really appreciate it. So little things like that, they seem very simple, but you'd be surprised at how many people, guys, show up to the golf course and they have absolutely no idea, and they're not prepared, and then suddenly they're faced with a situation they don't know what to do. So that would be something I would want to throw in there too, is, you know, bring some additional attire. You don't have to bring a whole wardrobe, but maybe something in case it either gets really cool, or if it's raining, you maybe want some sort of a light rain jacket. Obviously you want to make sure you have an umbrella with you as well. Even if you're driving in a power cart, that's always a good thing to have as well. John, I want to come back to you on this question. So we've kind of prepared ourselves. Peter's given us some good tips to get ready, and we've picked a golf course, and now we're rolling up, and maybe we're not coming with our buddies. We're meeting them there. So we're now in the golf day, and there is kind of a checking in process. So as we come into the front entrance of the golf course, maybe just briefly walk us through a little bit of, in most cases, I know they're not all the same, they do vary depending on where you're playing, but generally, what should they be looking for? What should they be prepared to do? And what are some of the common steps that typically happen when golfers arrive at the golf course? Because, again, a lot of beginners, you'd be surprised, have no clue.
Yes. There's really two types of golf courses that you're going to find. You're going to have the ones that have a bag drop area, and then there's some public golf courses that do not have a bag drop area. When you see the signs for the bag drop area, I would simply pull your car up there, let the bag drop guys get your clubs. I certainly love your advice about giving them a tip. It's always good to have some a few dollars to put in their hand, and because those guys do work on tips, and that's something you want to make sure and do. And then you obviously, if you don't know where you're going, you just ask where the pro shop is. And the guys are, that's their job. They'll guide you and tell you where to go. And then you obviously want to go check in, making sure if you are playing a public golf course or any golf course, that you obviously have a tee time, so that you have either gone online and signed up for a tee time. And if whatever that tee time is, you need to show up before the tee time. So if the tee time is at noon, at a bare minimum, get there at 11:30, preferably anywhere from 11 to 11:15, because you would like to get checked in. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where the restrooms are, or if you're going to have some lunch or whatever it is that you're going to do beforehand. Usually when you go to new places, you're kind of lost a little bit. So you definitely want to get there early. And you want to get to the driving range, and obviously, if they have a driving range. If they don't have a driving range, most every golf course in America is at least going to have a putting green. At a bare minimum, you can go putt. The other thing I'll say is, if it's a golf course that does not have a bag drop area, and there's a lot of golf courses that I play that don't, there's a couple of no-nos. Don't change your clothes out in the parking lot. I see people do that. All the time, they're taking their shirt, and like men, obviously, they're taking their shirts off and they're putting their, from work, and they're that's not the place to do it. If you're going to obviously have to change clothes, go inside, go to the restroom or the locker room to do that. And if there's not a bag drop area and you need assistance with your clubs or anything, obviously you can go in and ask if there's someone that can help you with them. But most people will just, carry their clubs up to the area, and you obviously want to try to find, where the pro shop is to go check in. You do need to check in, obviously, and like I said, you want to be there ahead of time. So, try not to use the parking lot as your locker room, and obviously show up early, and the bag assistants, guys there and girls at work, they're very valuable. They have a lot of information. They can give you a lot of information, and they're the first people that you're going to be in contact with when you show up.
Yeah, and they, what's also interesting as well is, a lot of the courses that I've been to, many cases in those positions, a lot of them are young kids, some of them are students. And it might be a summer job for them, depending on the location. So it's always good to help them out, like you said, as we talked about carrying a little tip money in that. But if they've been working there for any length of time, they're kind of familiar with the procedure and what everything is, and they're good to kind of pick their brain. And sometimes if you're a new person, that you're a little bit unsure, if they've played the course and that, they'll kind of even give you a little inside tip or two. Of what to look out for when you're on there, when you get out in the course, if they're familiar with the courses, which most of them are, because they get an opportunity to play most times free or at greatly reduced rates. But they sometimes can give you a little inside information. And definitely, I always recommend to my students that they show up an hour early, especially if they've never been to the facility before, for the same reasons that John, that you just pointed out, is that they get familiar with the lay of the land, and it gives them an opportunity. If they haven't had anything to eat, to get a little something to eat. And more importantly, again, if you can grab a few, balls to go out and hit them on the range to warm up, or at the very least, take a few of your balls out of the bag and go out on the putting green, make some putts, maybe even do a few chip shots, just to kind of to sense the speed and the read of the greens. And obviously, I know it's only one green, you're going to be playing 18, but it gives you a sense of what things are going to be like during that day. And especially as a beginning golfer, Your distance control and your speed, especially on the greens, is critical. And once you kind of get familiar with that a little bit, you're going to have a little better time. That doesn't mean you still may not have some struggles, but you're going to have a better time. Peter, I guess at this point we've checked in and we've ticked all the boxes off, and now we're ready to kind of get the round in more motion, if you will. And this is where many beginning golfers, particularly, really kind of freeze up, is that particularly that first time heading to the first tee. They get there and they really don't know what to expect. They don't know what the procedure is. They're not familiar with it. Again, let's walk them a little bit through what typically goes on. And again, clubs can vary. And I know the pro shop, usually if you're a new player, will kind of guide you on that as well as to what the procedure is, whether there's a starter or not. But let's walk them through that. And what's the best way to handle that first tee shot of the game, particularly for a beginner that maybe hasn't quite polished up their game enough yet? What's some good advice to get them started?
Yeah, I think it's good to take advice and direction from the professional staff and the folks that work at the club or at the golf course. They're going to point you in the right direction and give you, they want you to have fun. They want you to enjoy your time there, and they want you to follow the rules. So if you just follow the directions, they're going to point you in the right direction as to the first tee. If there's any kind of map on the scorecard, or if there isn't and you're unfamiliar with your surroundings, ask if there's anything on the golf course as you get from hole to hole that you need to know. That's always very important, because I know there's some places that do not have very good signage as far as which hole you might be on, and vice versa. Once you get to the first tee, just take a deep breath. Realize you're there to just really have a good time with your friends. And no matter what you do, just don't swing hard. Just work on making contact. Get off the first tee. And that can build some real confidence. And then once you get onto the golf course, just, follow the lead of, the people that have been there before and people that play. You want to look for, yardage markers when you're on the golf course and just work on keeping it in the fairway. Get on the green. And, don't worry about holding people up, because I'm sure you're going to be playing just fine.
Yeah, I think you raised a really interesting point, and that is, just going back to the staff real quick, is they want you to have fun. The people working at the golf course, from inside the pro shop to the starter to the bag drop, gang out there, if you will, and even if there's in some cases there might even be a parking lot attendant, they want you to have a good experience at their facility, because they want you to come back. So they're going to help and guide you any way that they can to make that a pleasurable experience. And so don't be afraid, number one, to ask questions. And as far as the first tee, I agree 100% with what you said. Too many people get up to that first tee and their knees are knocking, they're nervous, they're sweating, they don't know. And particularly some courses where it's very, very busy, you might even have two. I've even seen some cases where there's three groups waiting and, they're just all eyes are on you and you're nervous. So what I always like to recommend to my students, even some of my, particularly my corporate clients, what I always say to them is, if you're somebody that's not playing a lot and you're not very confident, particularly with your driver, even if it's a long par four, dial it back down to a club that you can hit with confidence. Even if you're only going to hit it 150 yards out into the fairway, that you're going to hit it relatively straight, it's going to be in play. Better to do that than to bring out your driver and having to hit a provisional ball because you've just knocked it into the woods to the right, or into the swamp or the pond on the left. I would rather hit it 150 yards, even 100 yards straight down the middle of the fairway with a club I'm confident with, than try to impress somebody with a club I'm not. So those are some things that I would recommend for particularly beginning golfers, because one of the biggest problems with anything that you do, whether it's golf or any other sport, is if you do something that embarrasses you or you feel uncomfortable with or creates you anxiety, you're less apt to want to continue with that process or continue playing that sport. So I always say to my students is the simpler you keep it, the better. So that way, when you go out, the anxiety level is much, much lower. You're going to have fun. You're going to hit some bad shots. You're going to hit some terrible shots. But the anxiety level will not be so great that you're not going to have fun along the way. And then, as I said, as you progress and become a little bit more accomplished golfer, then you can take a little more risk in that. But don't get out there just because your buddies are, you know, hitting it out there 250 yards that you have to do the same thing. Play to your level, play to your skill, and get in touch with your fellow teacher professional, whether it's a PGA or LPGA or USGTF, whoever's out there. Just make sure they're certified and that they've good, you know, some good credentials. Have a conversation with them and get them to point you in the right direction to help with your game. So that way, when you get to the golf course, you're going to be confident, you're going to be feeling good, and yeah, you may not be hitting it perfect, but you're going to have a good, enjoyable experience, and I guarantee it, you're going to want to come back and try it again, especially when you hit that one good shot in your round that just keeps you coming back every time. So I'm going to give you guys, we're going to wrap this up a few minutes earlier, but I'm going to give you guys each an opportunity to maybe any closing thoughts or comments about our discussion tonight, that maybe some points that we forgot to mention that you might want to touch on right now real quick, and then I'll give you an opportunity afterwards to let the folks know how they can reach out. So, John, you go first. Is there any final thoughts that you want to share with our beginning golfers that are tuning in tonight, and even some of our accomplished golfers that maybe haven't been out for a few months because of our current environment? They need to get a jump start on their season. So what are some good tips?
The first thing, Ted, is I encourage instruction. You know, I'm a teacher, and I believe that it, especially if you're new to the game, you owe it to yourself. If you want to enjoy the game, you owe it to yourself to get in some sort of series of clinics or lessons. 3 to 5 is a good start, and then get out and start playing golf. Because I tell my students all the time, I don't want you to just take lessons and that's it. I want you to play golf. The second thing is for the new players out there, the beginners. Whenever I'm doing a playing lesson with a beginner or a new player, I always tell them that we've got a certain number, okay? And the number might be 6, 7, or 8. And when we get to that number, we're going to pick the ball up and we're going to go to the green and we're going to put it on the green and we're going to putt out. That way, if the student is standing there and they've hit 6 balls, or 6 shots, and they're not, and they're still 150 yards away from the green, and there's groups behind us, because we all know how intimidating it can be. Even if you're an accomplished player, when you know that you're holding up the group behind you, it becomes very intimidating. And so it's very important that when you're out there on the golf course, that you have, and you're a new player, we're not really trying to establish a handicap. We're trying to learn the game, that you give yourself a number and then take it, you know, from there. And then one thing that a very intimidating thing that no one ever talks about, and that is when someone, the group ahead of you, asks you to play through. And so if that intimidates you, if that scares you, you know, you don't want to hit shots in front of other people like that. If you're going to play through, if maybe there's, they have 4 people and you only have 2, and you've caught up to them and you don't like that, the best thing to do is just actually, if you're going to play through, is just go ahead and drive through and go to the next hole. That's a simple way to get over that fear. I don't ever want someone to be afraid to hit in front of other people, but there is that anxiety that people sometimes have. So that's a way that you can accomplish that or do that and not, you know, feel awkward and want to come back to the golf course. So those are just some extra pieces of advice that I kind of thought of as we were going through the show, that I know that we experience as golf professionals with new players mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah, that's a great point. The reason I wanted to do really this show and have this discussion tonight, it's amazing how many, and with, believe it or not, with this current environment with the pandemic that we've been going through, more and more people, just for the sake of getting out and being able to do something, golf has really been very fortunate and very blessed to to sort of reap the benefits of this, because there are a lot of activities that people can't do. So a lot of people are gravitating to golf courses right now, and many of them, of course, have never, you know, picked up a golf club or really don't know much about it other than maybe what they've seen in a commercial or occasional tournament they might have, you know, skipped over the channel. So they really don't know what to do. And, you know, I want to, you know, always try to create an environment that we can help teach them different skills along the way, but also let them know just some of the simple basic things that we take for granted. As I said early on in the segment, you know, as golf professionals, sometimes we take for granted that our students know a lot of these little things that we talked about tonight. And I know from talking with other professionals that that's just not the case. Many of them are very intimidated just coming into the parking lot. They don't know what to expect. They've never played a lot of golf, or maybe they've never played at all. So those are things that, you know, we have to make sure they understand. Peter, what about you? I mean, I'm sure you agree a lot with what John said. Is there anything else that you can think of offhand that you would want to say to encourage some of our first timers or beginning golfers?
Yeah, I definitely encourage them to, like John said, to, you know, seek out some instruction, to really look at, you know, being comfortable before with and confident with what they can do on the golf course before they go out on the golf course. There's your instructor or coach is going to really be honest with you and tell you, you know, you're really progressing well. Why don't you go out and play? You know, they'll suggest a time for you to go play, maybe later in the afternoon when it's not as busy and you can be more comfortable and frankly by yourself. Even if, like you said, you've had a long layoff and you're, you know, already a recreational golfer, competitive golfer, whatever it might be, go out in the afternoon. I mean, it's really the best and most enjoyable time to go out and be on the golf course, especially during the summer, like right now. You have that dusk evening time period where it's generally very quiet. And it's very, very, it's very pretty. I mean, if anything else, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to relax, work on your game. You can hit multiple shots per time. You could just drop another ball if you want to. And frankly, it's one of my favorite times to just be out on the golf course and enjoy the outdoors. So I think mm-hmm. No matter what your level is, that twilight golf time is generally a slower and a great time to be on the golf course.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I know myself, there was many times, you know, growing up that I would go to the golf course during the twilight hours, mainly because for me, when I was working on my game at various points in my life, that was the best time. I enjoy that more. I always, you know, obviously liked it early in the morning, but, you know, people like to get out there early as well before work or on their day off, so they want to get out there and get the round over. But twilight was always a good time, and I can remember one of the courses I was with back home. We had a woman who was a member there, and she was in her 60s at the time, and she would come in, you know, at, 5:30 and get a quick nine, and things were starting to slow down a little bit in some cases. You know, we had 36 holes, it was 218. So she could just go out one of the nines and pretty much have the nine to herself in sometimes. So, and again, as you said, Peter, the scenery and whatnot was just, was in some cases just breathtaking. So, get out there and enjoy it, have fun. It's going to be a struggle along the way, but that's what makes golf fun and interesting, is it's always going to challenge you. And it brings, it can bring the best out in you as well. And it also teaches you a lot of life lessons along the way. You learn how to overcome challenges. You can take those skill sets that you learn out in the golf course and you can apply them into everyday life and vice versa for that matter. So, guys, great discussion tonight. I like that. I like to, you know, I said, I like to help people, and I think it's always good to help those that maybe are not familiar as we are and others who have played this game for any length of time. It's always good to kind of just give them a few little nuggets to think about. And hopefully we'll, for those that haven't been out yet, hopefully we've made it a little bit less intimidating for you, and get out there and play and enjoy the game. And whether you do it all the time for a lifetime or it's just something just that you want to try and you've never done before, we encourage you to get out there, but make sure you connect with your local golf professional and sit down with him or her and just have a conversation and tell them what your plans are and what you'd like to get out of the game, and they'll whip something up together for you that I think will help. Guys, again, great job. I'll give each of you an opportunity to let the folks know how they can reach out, and if there's anything particular coming up that you want to plug, by all means, we've got a couple of minutes to go ahead. So, John, I'll start with you, and then Peter.
Well, Ted, once again, thank you very much for having me on the show tonight. And, Peter, I really enjoyed tonight's discussion. As Ted mentioned in the opening part, I'm now a senior editor with Golf Tips Magazine. And so for the listeners out there, if you want to follow any of my instructional features, the first one came out this month, and I also have a feature called Fairways to Heaven, and I really appreciate Ted for giving me this opportunity to write for the magazine. If you want to follow me on social media, it's under John Decker Golf Instruction, and I spell my first name J-O-N, so it's John Decker Golf Instruction, and I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, have several hundred videos on YouTube. Instructional videos, and I teach out of the Westerville Golf Center in Columbus, Ohio, in the Columbus, Ohio area. So if you're in the Ohio area, feel free to reach out to me on social media if you're interested in doing lessons. If you're not in the Columbus, Ohio area, and you do want to have me do some online instruction or coaching, I'll be glad to do that, or I am also available if you would like to come to your area and teach, if that's something that you're interested in. So feel free to reach out to me on any of those social media platforms I mentioned. You can message me and we can get together. And then the last thing is my book, Golf is My Life, Glorifying God Through the Game. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart.com. You can buy those all online. And I now have a Bible study as well with the book, and I've been doing that at churches and doing some public speaking around the country. So if you're interested in starting a Bible study or you're interested in having me come speak, feel free to reach out to me. And once again, Ted, thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, John, as always, and I'm glad for your input into the show as well, and in addition to all the other things that that you've been doing. Peter, what about yourself? Let the folks know where they can reach out, and is there something that you maybe would like to take this opportunity to plug on the show?
Yeah, people can reach out to myself. You know, I'm very active on especially Instagram. It's npi.coach, and if they want to reach out, it's peter@gonpi.org. And you know, we're very excited about what Northeast Performance Institute is bringing to really the Northeast of the United States. We're about to open our brand new performance center in Portland, which is very much in the geographic center of the state. You know, three coaching studios, two fitting studios, you know, 400-yard driving range, you know, top tracer for the public area. Everything is guided by TrackMan for the most part on the coaching and fitting. So, yeah, very excited. And if I can help anybody, just you can either reach out on email or social, like I said, or you can visit our website at gonpi.org. Thanks, Ted. Thanks,
perfect.
John.
Not a problem. And when, Peter, is the when is the new facility opening up? Have you got an opening date yet set?
Yeah, we're.
I think we might have lost you, Peter.
Oh, I just muted myself. We're at a maximum of 2 weeks away right now. We're very excited.
Okay. Good stuff. I was going to say, don't go before you tell us when it was opening up. Well, I appreciate that. And guys, as always, I've done that too. I've muted myself a few times. So thank you guys, as always, for bringing your best here in Coach's Corner. It's a pleasure. And keep up the great work. And let's have a – I know we've all got a little bit of a later start this season, but let's go out and finish out strong. So, and the 2020 season. So, thanks, guys, and I look forward to you joining me next time on Coach's Corner.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that was John Decker and Peter Egazarian, a couple of great guys on the Coach's Corner panel discussion tonight on Golf Talk Live, and always enjoy having the gang, if you will, join here. Always different guys every week and gals. And always enjoy their discussions and their input into the show. And it makes it really interesting because, you know, a lot of times people have questions and, you know, there's a lot of great forums and that to sort of air some of these discussions out on. But I've always got a great couple of folks, if you will, that come on each and every week here on the show in the Coach's Corner panel. We always have some interesting discussions, and hopefully you guys have some things to take away from it as well. I'm just waiting for my guest to come on board, and I'll tell you a little bit about him while we wait. And when he comes on, I will bring him on. My very special guest tonight is Tin Tran. He is the founder and inventor of the Trans Rover all-in-one golf cart. He is from Elk Grove, California, but actually came to the U.S. when he was about 15, along with his mother and four other siblings, to actually reunite with his father and elder brother, who fled the country after the Vietnam War. Growing up in Vietnam with very little, he had very humble beginnings, which taught him to make the most of what he had. He remembers inventing and making toys from a very young age, and he actually picked up the game of golf during his time at college. It was, as he puts it, love at first sight, as it has been for many of us. And he soon realized that there was a need for the particular product that he developed, the Trans Rover. And it was a sort of natural for him to get his hands on whatever random scraps he could get together. And he started, as he put it, hacking out prototypes in his backyard. And while balancing a full-time job and starting a family, he never stopped making progress with the Trans Rover. And it was actually showed off their prototype to the world, if you will, for the first time at the 2018 PGA Merchandising Show in Orlando, which ultimately won the most innovative award at the show that season. And shortly after that, they successfully completed their Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign. And after much hard work and perseverance, they have completed their first production run. So he's excited to continue the incredible journey to bring Trans Rover to the golfing world. So as I said, when Tin comes on, I will introduce him again, and we will begin tonight's discussion. Let me also remind everybody, for those of you that are just tuning in a little bit later on, that tonight's broadcast is sponsored by iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing top quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And of course, Golf Tips Magazine, the game's most in-depth instructional magazine, offering insightful reviews on the latest equipment tips from top PGA and LPGA teacher professionals, all designed to help improve your game from tee to green. So subscribe today at golftipsmag.com. And as John very graciously mentioned earlier in the show, or towards the end there, that the first issue that I have produced for Golf Tips Magazine as its new publisher and owner is on newsstands as of yesterday. And you can get it at most Barnes & Noble. Books A Million is another big chain that is carrying it. And I know Publix is also carrying it. Now, some locations, if they're not currently open, of course, will not have it. But if your location has been open for the last several weeks, it should be in there. So you can, when you're in there doing some grocery shopping, or if you're in there, as I said, at a Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, if you're wanting to check out some good reading, there's a lot of great articles in this first edition that I've published, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. It's got a great cover as well. Featuring the cover story written by, of course, the voice himself of golf, Mr. Peter Kessler, entitled My Dear Friend Arnold. And of course, as you would guess, the cover features a very trim and well-built Arnold Palmer in his younger days on the cover. So that'll be very identifiable when you go into the store. Pick yourself up a copy, or better yet, you can go to golftipsmag.com and subscribe. It's a bi-monthly magazine. There are six issues every season. And for $14.97, depending on where you are, if you're in the United States, for six issues for a year, you can subscribe and get all six issues delivered. If you're out of the United States, obviously, it's going to be a little bit more, but it's well worth it. There's going to be a lot of great information in there, a lot of information on travel, some great articles, as well as some, of course, great tips as well. So I hope you'll check that out. As I mentioned, I'm just waiting here for Tin to call into the show. And I'm really, really looking forward to having our discussion. I know he's very, very excited about the product, the Trans Rover. And we'll talk to him, as I said, when he comes on, hopefully in the next moment or two. But I want to take this opportunity also to thank everybody for faithfully tuning in each and every week here to the show. Really, really appreciate it. The audience has grown exponentially over the years, and it just continues to grow each and every week. And I really, really appreciate that. And, you know, if you have questions or comments about the show, maybe there's a particular professional that you'd like to see come on the show, feel free to reach out to me. My email address is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. So if you've got maybe there's a golf professional in your area that you'd like for me to showcase on the show, by all means, feel free to reach out, let me know. Or maybe there's somebody that belongs to a club that maybe has developed a great product designed to help some of their fellow golfers out there. I'll certainly take a look at it, and maybe I'll have them as a guest on the show to talk about that and help give them a little bit of airtime. So I'll be happy to do that as well. And again, the email is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Okay, I will continue to hold on here. As I said, my guest is running a few minutes late, but I'll bear with it, and we'll continue on. Also, don't forget to tune in on Tuesday evenings, or sorry, Tuesday mornings to the Women of Golf Show, which is the other show that I host, along with my good friend, LPGA professional and Legends Tour player, Cindy Miller. And we feature a lot of great female professionals and others that help to elevate women in golf on the program, as well as here this season, we've added in a new segment called the No BS Zone, where we cover a lot of different topics that will pertain to really all golfers, but we try to keep it narrowed down. Earlier in the season, of course, we have for the last several seasons, we had been featuring the winners from the Symetra Tour. And unfortunately, with all that's gone on with COVID-19, of course, as most of you know, the tours have gone on a hiatus. They're slowly starting to unpack what's going to be left of the season. And I believe from what all reports, I believe that the Symetra Tour is going to start picking up, if I'm not mistaken, sometime early in July. So we will reach out to them, and as the tournaments get going, we will once again feature the young ladies on here as they win their, in some cases, their first event. So hopefully you'll tune in and be able to listen to that. And that should be starting, I think, around the middle of July, I believe, is their first tournament. I don't have the dates in front of me, but again, everybody's been sort of on hiatus here with professional sports, even golf, for several months as we've battled through this pandemic. And as the courses open and people get back out there, and the commissioners and so forth, and the governing bodies of the various tours feel confident, and sponsors that we can move forward, then we will, and we will showcase some of those young ladies, as I said, on the tournament grounds, if you will, and have them here as our special guest to start the show off. So stay tuned for that. I'll keep you updated on the Women of Golf as we get more information rolling in. But we always do that. These young ladies are just really a pleasure interviewing. They're very, very excited about playing out on tour. And obviously they're trying to gain their full card to play on the LPGA Tour. And we're happy to showcase them and share their journey, if you will, as professional golfers. And some of them are fresh out of college, and others have maybe played a few seasons on the Symetra Tour. And there's some others that have actually made it out to the LPGA, but maybe either lost their card or lost a typical status, if you will, and have had to come back to the Symetra Tour in order to take another run at it. So it's always a very interesting, very good mixture, and we always look forward to that. All right, I'm going to Hold on for a few more moments. I'm not sure if my guest has run into an issue, so I will try to reach out to Mr. Tran and see if we can find out if he's running into some difficulties. And if that's the case, we may have to reschedule his segment. But give me a moment, and I will do that and see what the status is. In the meantime, again, I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight on the show. I hope that I hope that you get a chance to go to golftipsmag.com and check out the website. There's some great information on the website. And also, if you're not a current subscriber, go on there. There's a great deal right now. The subscriptions are $14.97 for the 6 issues for the season. For an entire year, and you can actually for $22 you can subscribe for 2 seasons, so it gives you even a little bit further break. So check it out, and hopefully I think you will enjoy many of the articles that are going to be coming out in the current issue and future issues as well. So I hope you'll do that, and go to golftipsmag.com. I've just sent a quick message to tonight's guest, and hopefully he may be running into some issues. He's actually, as I mentioned in the opening credits, that he is in California, so I know there's a time difference. He may have gotten the time mixed up a little bit, so we'll see what happens. And as I said, if something is amiss, then we will reschedule him for our earliest convenience. And my apologies for the delay. I'll give him a few more minutes. As I said, occasionally sometimes this happens where guests get the times mixed up and other things come up and they're unable to reach out. So I apologize for that. Some other great ways, too, to listen to the program. Obviously, the program airs live every Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Central here on the blogtalkradio.com network. But there's some other great ways as well. And obviously, at the end of the show, I always play in the closing credits some of the areas, but I'll tell you, well, we've got a few minutes here now. You can go to castbox.com and you can actually subscribe there and listen to the podcast on that network. It's also available on Stitcher, also available at iTunes and talkstreamlive.com, and also on Spotify are some of the other areas that you can listen to this podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast. Of course, it's free. You can also do the same with the Women of Golf. So you just go to any of those platforms, and you just type in either Golf Talk Live, if that's the show that you particularly want to tune into, or Women of Golf is the other one that we do, or do both. And just click on subscribe. And again, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you can listen to not only the shows that are currently being presented, but also past issues as well. So if you've missed any of the previously aired shows, that's a great opportunity to do just that. So I'm going to give my guest just a few more moments to see if we can get him connected here. And for some reason, if we don't, as I said, we'll end the show a little bit early, and we will reschedule them for a future date. But yeah, so go to any of those social media platforms, and you can also follow me on most social media platforms. You can get on Facebook under Ted Odorico, and I've actually got my general page, and then I've also got sort of a follow me page, if you will. Since I'm maxed out on the number of connections I can have on Facebook, there is another one that I started up a little while ago, so you can follow me there and get updates on the shows and so forth. You can also join the Golf Talk Live group as well. Just go to Golf Talk Live blog on Facebook, and you can join the group there, and I also update there. You can also visit Golf Tips Magazine's Facebook page as well. And I don't typically update the shows on that page, but if you're looking to learn more about the magazine, that's another place you can go and check it out. And make sure you like the page when you visit there. It's a lot of great people following in that, and always have some interesting video tips and other information up there. as well, and you can learn more about the magazine if you're not that familiar with it. But all right, I'm going to end the show a little bit early, and I apologize. For some reason, my guest is not, for some reason, able to make it, and I will try to reschedule him because I really was looking forward to having him on the show. And again, obviously, sometimes these things happen. I don't imagine you want to hear me talking for the next hour or so by myself. So I'm going to end the show. And again, I apologize that I wasn't able to have my special guest tonight, but I will reach out to him and connect him on a future show. And I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Be sure to join in next week. We will have a great guest on, as well as a new group of Coaches Corner panelists. So make sure you tune in. God bless everybody. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show. And again, my apologies for tonight's guest, but these things happen from time to time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Father's Day for all of you fathers. As we roll into Father's Day weekend, go out there and have a special day with your family, and maybe get some golf in if you're able to. So God bless everybody. Have a great week, and thanks for tuning into Golf Talk Live. Thanks for listening to this evening's broadcast of Golf Talk Live. Remember to tune in each week at blogtalkradio.com/Golf Talk Live. If you can't join us live, check out the on-demand section for previously aired broadcasts, or listen on any of the following social media platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, TalkStream Live, and of course, Spotify. To get updates on future shows and upcoming guests, be sure to visit the show's Facebook page, Golf Talk Live Blog. You can also follow me on Twitter at Ted and Buck CEO. Remember to join me live each week for another great broadcast of Golf Talk Live. See you next time. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.